Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
It's great to see everybody tonight. Thank you. Thank you for another opportunity to be together. Thanks for coming to pray. Appreciate praying together every week and just feel like the Lord's doing really special things among us right now. And thanks, especially, we talked a little bit about 2020 today, Spud. Thanks for leading us in that tonight. I just really believe the Lord's going to do something special here. I can't believe, looking back at that chart from this morning, I don't know if we have that, Caleb. If you look close at that, I mean, we've paid off $1 million of debt in the last 3 years. It's amazing. Praise the Lord for that. I think when we started this, I knew mathematically that that was possible, but I just didn't quite know what that was going to look like when it happened. And just praise the Lord that there's still a lot more to do, but he's helping us. And it's so cool to see us link arms as a church body and really attack that debt. And I just believe, maybe not at the end of 2020, but just in the next very foreseeable future, I believe that debt's going to be retired and we're going to have a financially free situation here. It's going to be wonderful. I just can't imagine what we could do with the amount of money that we spend on servicing that mortgage. I think that it's just going to be amazing to see. So thank you for believing in that vision with us. I also was laughing when I was putting this together. I actually have made that chart every year for the business meeting for the last few years, and it never struck me until this time that I've been on staff for that whole chart. I came at the beginning of 05, which was kind of, that's year ends there. So at the beginning of 04, the 04 on there is really the beginning of 05. So I've been here for the highest debt. I've now been here for the lowest debt. But I just want to say thank you to you for keeping me around. I don't know that I would have always kept me around, but I just really appreciate so many of you in this room have encouraged me in such a special way, and just have really enjoyed the opportunity you've given me to grow here, and I appreciate so many of you and the investment that you've made in me, so thank you. Well, a couple weeks ago, I got to share with you, I apparently am not doing terrible because I keep getting asked to do this on Sunday night, so here we are. But a few weeks ago, I shared about work, and I made the joke that night, but it was not even a joke because she really said it, that my wife told me when I was kind of preparing, she goes, "You kind of tend to preach a lot about work. I wish you'd preach a little more about rest." So like any good husband, we're here tonight to talk about rest. I actually had planned to go in a different direction, and I was kind of struggling with it, and I just thought it's the Lord reminding me I need to listen to my wife. That's good. That's a good thing to remember. And full disclosure, I'm bad at rest. I don't do rest well, and too many heads are nodding that know me, but I don't do well with that. I enjoy working. I like working hard, and Pastor Jim, and really who's on me about this the most is Sandy. Sandy's over in iPray tonight, but Sandy gets on me every week when she hears that I've been here on my day off and various things. But I've got to do better at rest. Second point of full disclosure is I'm going on vacation this week. So this was actually a timely study for me. And what I think I figured out about midway through preparation for this is that this is really what the Lord wanted to say to me, and you're just going to have to listen to it because it's what I needed to learn for working through things this week. But anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about rest tonight, but we're going to get there in kind of a strange way because I want to start out by talking about busyness. And anyone in here feel like you're busy? I sometimes feel like I'm busy. Yeah, I see some hands, so you feel busy. I think it's so interesting, you walking through the lobby today after service, you say to somebody, "How are you doing?" About 9 out of 10 times, what do they say? They say, "I'm busy. Things are really busy, but they're good." Really busy, but they're good. You know, I think that culture today is kind of just all about being busy. We're bombarded with things everywhere we turn. There's stresses. There's things pulling us one way or another. My son plays baseball. I think some of you all know my son. He's 12. He plays baseball on a baseball team. He has a great baseball team. It's a recreational league, but they're pretty serious about their baseball. He's got good, godly coaches. We love having him be a part of it. But I was laughing with some other of the parents because they practice like all the time. I mean, I remember when I was 12 and I played baseball, it was like looking back, it was almost like a joke. Like we shouldn't have even been playing. We'd practice maybe twice before a game, and then we'd play 10 games and that'd be the season. My son's baseball team, they start practice in February, and they practice indoors in February, and through the meat of the season, they've had 2 practices a week and then doubleheader games every week. And this is for a recreational league. We practice that much just so we don't embarrass ourselves. We're not the best team. They're not super competitive, but I just look at this, and I know so many other people who have kids my kid's age, I see them that are playing competitive sports teams. They're traveling every weekend. I mean, they're just pulled all kinds of directions. And that's just normal, and that's just one thing. We have three kids, so you know, what do you do when you have multiple kids playing multiple sports? You're going to and from practice just about every day, and we know that drill. Throw in school activities, not to mention, you know, when you work. We're pulled a lot of different directions. It's just like society is busy. I think it can be like that at church too. Pastor David was just saying about all of the things we have going on, and it's true. If you go to the Central Hub, there's a long list. We could barely get everything we needed to tell you about fit into service this morning. In fact, we went way over the time we'd projected for that because there's just so many things going on. And it's not that that's necessarily bad, because they're all good things, right? Even baseball, playing baseball and with good godly coaches and everything, those are good. But at some point, you just get exhausted, right? You just get exhausted. I think sometimes when I think it's a new problem, I check myself. I think it's always been around. I don't know that it's always been this bad. It just maybe looked different ways in the past. But we see some examples of it in Scripture. If you search toiling in vain on a Bible app, and you'll be amazed at the amount of verses that come back about toiling. Almost the whole book of Ecclesiastes is that. Psalm 127:2 says, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat." I mean, that sounds like a busy verse. That was in the Psalms. 1 Corinthians 9:26, Paul talks about not running like someone who's running aimlessly, or fighting like a boxer fighting the air. I mean, it's just kind of like the idea that we're just going, and we don't even know why. So I think in the back of our mind, we know it's not good to be this busy. Maybe it's not what God designed. It makes us tired, exhausted, ineffective. It causes us to mess up our priorities. And in the worst case, it can make us miss what God's voice is calling us to do if we haven't taken time to hear it. And not to mention, it's bad for our families. I read when I was studying for this that Dr. James Dobson from Focus on the Family would step into newlywed Sunday school classes and say that overcommitment and exhaustion are the most insidious and pervasive marriage killers you'll ever encounter as a couple. And you know, that sounds like that's the result of being busy. So I was thinking about this. Why do we focus so much on being busy? There's probably a lot of reasons that humanity and me personally tend to do this. But I think I think a big one is that we want to show that we're not lazy, right? I mean, then that kind of what it comes down to. No one wants to be lazy. You don't walk up to somebody and say, "How are you doing?" I'm lazy. You know, that's not the answer you expect. No one would give that answer. We don't want to be known as lazy, and there's good reason for that. It's not a good idea to be lazy. It's generally a bad idea. The Scriptures kind of bear that out. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. And the previous verses in that chapter admonish the church there to avoid hanging out with idle people. IDLE people, not IDOL people. Proverbs 6, 9 through 11, a lot of Proverbs talk about laziness, right? We've all heard these verses. We don't want to be these things. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. You know, we hear these admonishments to not be lazy. So what's our answer? We need to be busy. My favorite one, one other one, Proverbs 21:25, the craving of a sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. And then Proverbs 26:14-15 is a fun one. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns in his bed. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's too lazy to even bring it back to his mouth. So, I mean, who wants to be known by those verses, right? I don't. So I think sometimes when we think we might be called lazy, we try and show. We actually try and prove that we're not lazy by making ourselves busy. And first, if you're trying to prove anything, we're probably doing it wrong. Like, that's the first sign, I think, generally, that we're not living the right ways. If we feel like we have to prove something to somebody, we're probably not secure in our identity in Christ. But we're trying to prove that we're not lazy by being busy, because we think busy is the opposite of lazy, right? But is busy the opposite of lazy? I don't think it is. If you look, I've got on the screen, we've got some antonyms for lazy. This is from our friends at Merriam-Webster. If you scroll that list, you'll notice very keenly that busy does not appear on that list. In fact, most of those things on that list are good things. So we get ourselves confused. We allow ourselves to believe that we need to be busy, so we're not going to be known as lazy. And we end up making ourselves probably worse off than if we were lazy. We've kind of been duped into thinking that. C.S. Lewis kind of talks about this idea in Mere Christianity. He says in that book, he, talking about the devil, always sends errors into the world in pairs of opposites. And he always encourages us to spend a lot of time thinking about which is the worse. You see why, of course. He relies on your extra dislike of the one error to draw you gradually into the opposite error. I think we see this in a lot of things. I think this ties into some of what even Pastor Jim was teaching about this morning. You know, you can think about these continuums, and we tend to fixate on the ends of a continuum, but maybe where we need to be is more in the middle. You know, it's in the light of this morning's sermon, we would have probably ultra-judgmental on one end and afraid to confront sin on the other. And I think you can see the world kind of probably swung more to this end of the continuum about being afraid to confront sin, but the people who want to really show they can confront sin, they're ready to judge everything. And we've kind of missed the sweet spot in the middle, which is probably where God called us to be. You can think about several issues that this idea really plays out. I think C.S. Lewis was really onto something, but I think one of those is also this idea of busyness and busyness and laziness. So I'm a math guy, and I think everybody knows that, so I got really excited that I got to make a number line for my slides tonight. So you can see it's I don't have numbers on it. Like a true math major, by the way, we don't use numbers in deep math. So, but we have here, you have the kind of the origin in the middle, and called this a continuum of activity. So the more activity you have, you get out here on this end, the less activity is to the left side there. So if you have no activity at all, that's probably laziness, right? And if you have too much activity, that's probably busyness. And we tend to think about those far ends of that continuum, right? We say, well, in fact, I know I've seen a few people who really detested the idea of being busy to the point that they just wouldn't do anything. Like, it can go the other way as well. But so what do we do? What do we do when we think about this? Well, C.S. Lewis, the rest of that section of the book says, but do not let us be fooled. We have to keep our eyes on the goal and go straight between both errors. We have no other concern than that with either of them. So we need to go, going back to our continuum, we need to go right toward the middle, toward that origin point. And I would submit that the origin point, the middle that we need to be striving for, is what is a truly biblical view of work and rest, right? It's not too busy. It's not going to be too lazy. It's going to be the right balance, the right rhythm of work and hard work and work that we're called to do. We talked about all those things a few weeks ago, but also of rest, And I think if we think too much about one or the other of those, it can get us off of the middle, and we can kind of start to fall onto one end of that continuum. For me, I tend to err on the side of being too busy. There might be some other people who need to do a little more work, but that's where I'm at on that one. So thought it would be good. We talked a couple weeks ago about work, and I think everybody kind of has an intuitive idea about work, but this was, I think, the challenge for me this week was to think about this in terms of rest. So how do I have a biblical view of rest? So I thought I'd look real quick at four different passages that kind of show us what's a more biblical view of rest and how that can maybe play out in our lives. This is certainly not a comprehensive list. In fact, if you do some study on rest, there is a lot in the scriptures that is there. But the very first place we see it, and it's a great reason to rest, is because God created rest. God created rest, and he told us to do it. So those are two good things. We see this in Genesis chapter 2. You know, God had just finished the creation. He'd gone through 6 days. We talked about that narrative a few weeks ago, too, about how he referred to those days, that work of creation, as work. And in Genesis 2, verse 2, it says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from the work of creating that he'd done. You know, we said last week that, or 2 weeks ago, that when we're created in the image of God, and part of our role in the world and in the creation is to bear that image of the Creator into the world, and that when we work, even if whatever the work we're doing is, when we work, the way we do it is bearing that image of God. Well, this is a challenging thing to think about, but we're doing the same thing when we rest, right? When we rest, the way we rest, and resting well, is part of our responsibility as created beings to bear the image of the Creator in the world. It's, for some reason, it's easy for me to remember that about work. I have a little harder time with that. about rest. In fact, I think that to the extent that we believe it's true for work, it's also true for rest, right? It can't be true about one and not the other. God did both. He worked 6 days, he rested one day. We better be doing the same thing, or if we're not, we're not truly bearing the image of God at that moment, right? It also becomes the foundation for the Sabbath. That shows up in the Ten Commandments. That's in Exodus 28 through 11, where it says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. I think it's important to remember. We need to be doing those same things. That was a command for Israel. It shows up several other places in Exodus. An interesting one is Exodus 34:21. He says, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest. I think it's interesting that he draws out a time where you would probably be tempted to be consumed by busyness during the busiest season of the year for farmers. He doesn't say, it'd be a good idea to rest, you know, take care of yourself. It says you must rest. You must rest on that seventh day. This shows up in the New Testament as well. It's not just an Old Testament concept, but Jesus invites us to rest. I think one of my favorite verses about the idea of rest is in Matthew 11:28, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and what we give us rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So I was thinking about that verse this week. It's interesting. It doesn't say, come to me who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you the strength you need, right? He doesn't say he'll just give us the strength supernaturally. He says he'll give us rest, and we can derive the strength we need to carry those burdens and to become not weary as a gift from the rest that God gives us. He doesn't give us the strength. He gives us the rest, and the way he created in the created order of things, the strength will follow that. We also see Jesus set an example of the idea of work-rest rhythm in Mark 6. So in verse 7 of this chapter, Jesus sends out the 12, and he gives them these specific instructions about, you know, this is where he says, wear your lightweight pair of sandals, and don't bring extra clothes, and all of the instructions about what to do. And then in verse 12, it says that they went out and preached that people should repent. And they drove out many demons, and they anointed many sick people with oil, and they healed them. So they followed his instructions, and they went out and they did it. So they're out doing work. They're doing the work Jesus very literally called them to do, because he was standing right in front of them and said, go do this, with specific instructions. We see him return in verse 30 of that same chapter. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. So they're given a report of the work they've done. They've fulfilled what he'd asked of them. Then it's interesting what comes next. It says, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. So we see them, they worked hard, and then what kind of sounds like that happened when there were so many people around that they couldn't even get a bite to eat. Their work that had been good and executed right, the right way, sacred according to God's calling, started to swing over into busyness. There were too many people around, they weren't even taking time to eat because they were feeling pulled by all these demands of the day different ways. And what did Jesus say? We got to stop right here, come with me, go to a quiet place, and they even got on a boat. So no, there was a limited number of people that could go with them, and they went to a solitary place. And they rested. I think that's a great picture of what we need to be doing. And I think it's so easy when I think about that to see I can be doing great in my work. I can be doing exactly the things I need to be doing. I can be doing exactly the things God called me to do. And it's so easy for then all of a sudden for it to just get a little busy and it starts to go the wrong way. And I have to, in this case, the disciples needed an outside intervention. Jesus had to tell them, all right, we need to be done here. We need to go rest. And I need to be sensitive to that too. I think there's times where I've maybe felt the Lord say that to me. I bet a few of you in this room are that same way, where you feel the Lord kind of telling you you're going a little too hard and you're saying, but Lord, I can do it, you know? And that's just not what we need to say. We just need to not feel guilty about taking rest, because there's a biblical mandate to do it. The last thing as we close tonight on this little study on rest and busyness and laziness, that's probably the most important one. Reason we need to rest is that God often speaks to us in times of rest, right? Psalm 46:10 is a great verse. It's where it says that he says, "Be still and know I'm God. Be still and know I'm God." He doesn't say, "Be busy and show that I'm God," right? He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Like the NASB translation of this, it says, "Cease striving and know that I'm God." And I think that's a, you know, sometimes I don't exactly know what it means to be still. I have a hard time with that, but I can understand cease my striving, cease my striving. It's not strive harder because I'm God. It's not strive harder and show that I'm God. It's not strive harder and let me prove that I'm God. It just says cease your striving and know that I'm God. So we're not to be busy. We're not to be lazy. We just need to be still. Amen. So let's ask the Lord to help us with that this week as we go.